L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Sergei Sorovikin, the General Armageddon, notorious for his conduct in the Middle East and Syria, and then named by Gerasimov and Shoigu as the man to take over the offensive in Ukraine, the depredations against the Ukrainian people. And then we next hear of Sorovikin in Rostov on Don, the day of the mutiny, when he apparently either cooperates or does not resist the rolling over of his forces, the security forces, in the large city of Rostov on Don. And then we hear that Sorovikin has been relieved of duty and has returned to Moscow. And now I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, a visiting professor at Dickinson College and CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. I mentioned Sorovikin, Jeff, because that is within hours of the violence in the sky over Moscow to Petersburg and the death of Prigozhin, the man who led that mutiny into Rostov-on-Don, that called into question Sorovikin's loyalty to the Kremlin, along with his leadership, all gone in one mysterious fall from the sky of a private jet. Jeff, it immediately reminded me of that violent scene in Godfather 1, I believe, when the youngest member of the Klan shoots a police captain, and then there's revenge taken across the whole landscape of enemies of the Corleone family. Did you think of that, Jeff, when all these things bang, bang, bang? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no doubt that the Kremlin is operating in a mafia-style fashion, and what Mr. Putin may have done in this regard in the last few days, restore his overall authority, not unlike Don Corleone. He has reduced the possibility of any internal opposition. And, you know, for a long time, it appeared he was trying to play one of the leading members of the Siloviki against the other, Shoigu and Gerasimov, chief of the general staff, minister of defense, against Prigozhin. And that may have gotten to the point where some people were unsure that he could manage that problem. Prigozhin may have thought he was a bit more powerful than he really was. And this is one way to reassert that authority over that particular group. And Sorovikin clearly is part of that particular effort. Not only was he the head of the operations for a time in the Ukraine, he was also commander of the Air Force and Space Forces. And he has now been formally relieved. And it's also, I've seen reports that he has, in fact, been arrested. And on top of that as well, we had a report that Igor Strelkov, who's a very well-known former officer and a very well-known right-wing blogger who's been critical of Mr. Putin not being aggressive enough, has also been arrested. So all these summarize to me that the head of the mafia, the head of the Kremlin, asserting his authority as a unitary actor and slapping down his subordinates and making sure they all know who is actually in charge.
Sorovikin is significant to me, Jeff, because that was a much admired and very successful commanding officer. They don't come easy. And he was shaped by many years of war fighting for the Kremlin. There's mystery here, Jeff. We can't solve all of this. This isn't neat. Prigozhin is dead. Long live the Kremlin. This is something that was inside the Kremlin itself. And if it was the old days, I would say that Stalin was about to purge the entire army. How do you read removing a general that famous, Jeff?
Well, it certainly appears that might be the case. We've seen others who have been relieved. General Popov was relieved, who was a senior commander as well. And he was relieved basically for saying many of the same things that Prigozhin had said, though Prigozhin was much more into histrionics and much more clear in his invectives towards the Minister of Defense and the Chief of the General Staff. But he was also relieved for making these particular comments. And along the way, of course, since the last year, we've seen 12 or 13 oligarchs, members of the Siloviki, who have died suddenly, falling out of windows, committing suicide, etc. So once again, it's a matter of Putin not brokering any particular opposition. and whether or not that can be sustained over time and how much of an effect that's going to have on the operational capabilities of the Army as you start moving those senior leaders out, that remains to be seen. In the immediate time frame, obviously, we have not seen, I think, a significant effect. That will appear only as time goes on. And finally, of course, John, not only did Mr. Putin take out Prigozhin, but he basically decapitated the Wagner group. And now I'm sure we'll bring in a whole new leadership for a new private military company that will take on Wagner's responsibilities, but this time headed up by someone who is totally loyal to Putin.
The Wagner Group, a revelatory piece in the Wall Street Journal in these last hours, adding to what we know about their activities in Africa. This was one very busy bunch of hired guns. Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, Sudan, Libya, all in various stages of negotiation with the Wagner Group. To what end, Jeff? How does this help the Kremlin?
Well, it helps the Kremlin, I think, in several ways. One, it obviously sticks their finger in the eye of the West in terms of instability in that region and frustrating a lot of our counter-ISIS operations. A coup occurred recently in Niger, as you mentioned. Well, there's 1,400 U.S. military forces in Niger and about 1,100 French forces. This is counterterrorism operations. But in the aftermath of that particular coup, we know leading members of the Wagner Group met with the new leadership, perhaps in Mali, it's been suggested, to see how they might well assist. In the aftermath of Mr. Prigozhin's death, we know very quickly, the deputy defense minister of Russia went to Libya to meet with General Haftar, again, to try to take over those particular responsibilities that Wagner had in past. Helpful then in sort of sticking your finger in the eye of the West. Second of all, helpful economically, because this effort is paid off in oil, gold, diamonds, et cetera. It's helped a flagging Russian economy. And then finally, I think this is an example of Russian hybrid warfare. As more and more central social unrest occurs across the entirety of Central Africa, from the Atlantic to Sudan, well, the consequence are more refugees, more displaced people. And I take note of the fact that an Italian source said the other day that Italy has received twice as many refugees on this date than they had a year ago. And I think that's a derivative of this social unrest across Central Africa, a lot of it fomented or encouraged by the Wagner Group.
Positive news if you are watching very carefully about the threat to not only Ukraine's integrity, but all of Western Europe. This is Defense One headline in these last hours. U.S. to train Ukrainian pilots, maintainers on F-16s this fall. Subhead, the pilots will go through English language training before getting into the cockpit. I've read cleverly, Jeff, they call the F-16 the Swiss Army knife of the air because of its many capabilities, because pilots love it. It's got that big bubble top they can see in all directions, and it can fire missiles very far away and operate effectively. We were reluctant to the point of saying yet for the first year. Has a dam broken somewhere, Jeff?
No, it certainly has, John, with the decision at the most recent NATO summit to provide them F-16s. That being said, it probably will not be until January at the earliest that we see F-16 actually arriving. The timelines I've seen in terms of training is about 8 months for a totally inexperienced pilot to be trained for the F-16. You may be able to shorten that to 5 months for an experienced pilot already, and you might even be able to shorten that even further, whereas we train our pilots for multi-role missions, close air, as well as counter air, close air support, as well as counter air. They might focus pilots on different missions, and that might shorten training. But then you have a lot of other problems. Are the Ukrainians prepared to pull their best pilots out of the fight for 5 months for them to be trained on the F-16, number one? Number two, at the same time, you've got to create that supply chain of spare parts, maintenance, fuel, ammunition, all those things that can continue to maintain those aircraft and keep them in the air. And then last but not least, I'm sure right now they're studying very carefully, how do we base these aircraft? Because whatever bases we use in the Ukraine are going to become very primary targets for Russian missile strikes. So you're going to have to enhance the air defense networks around those particular airfields at a moment when, you know, in many ways, Ukraine is running into shorter and shorter supply of air defense capabilities as the Russians continue to rain down more and more missiles on the entire country.
We're headed to Ukraine, but we're approaching it from the point of view of NATO's larger mission here, which is to blunt the aggression of an army that now demonstrates it's more gangland than it is a disciplined military force. And therefore, you have to take into account all of the capabilities that counter a gangland army. One thing that comes to me is that gangsters are not careful about their own security. They assume intimidation, brutality, violence will back off their opponents. And that's true when the opponents are not armed. Jeff, it lightened me considerably when I read incomplete report of landings on Crimea by special forces of Ukraine. And then it was associated with the destruction of an air defense facility, I believe. But I thought to myself, wait a minute, what kind of defense is Russia putting together when the back door is open? What do you make of this, Jeff, probing Crimea from the sea?
Well, I talked to the Ukrainians about this just this morning when I had a call in with Kyiv. And the commandos for the Ukrainians have been trained very well by particularly the British SBS Special Boat Service and SAS Special Air Service to conduct these kind of operations. It was not a coincidence, oh, by the way, that these particular operations were conducted on Ukrainian Independence Day. That's when they occur. And I come back to what I think somebody said a few weeks ago, that you could summarize Ukrainian strategy as stretch, starve, and strike, trying to stretch Russian forces by making them uncertain where will the Ukrainians strike, and everywhere then becomes a possibility, to include Crimea. That causes them to move their forces, thin out their line. Then you starve them by making deeper strikes to destroy command and control and the logistics. Taking out this air defense system is certainly an example of that. And then you actually conduct the strikes where you find those particular weaknesses. But furthermore, we have to keep in mind with the Ukrainians, not only do they want to send a psychological message to the Russians that you are safe nowhere. We can strike in Crimea. We can strike certainly in those areas where we're conducting major advances. We can also strike in Russia, as they've been doing more and more with longer range drones. We can strike at sea with sea drones. So you are not safe anywhere. We can strike in anywhere. And the last but not least, I'm confident, and my Ukrainian colleagues corroborated this, this particular operation was also a big shot in the arm for Ukrainian morale. The Ukrainian people have suffered grievously for the last 17 months. And to see Ukrainian forces conducting a commando, a very successful commando operation, losing no one on Crimea on Independence Day, was certainly a positive impact on Ukraine on that very important day.
Jeff, does this tell us that the Crimean coastline is not guarded? Is not? They don't have the personnel to do it? Jeff, they should fire every commander whose responsibility was that security area.
Well, it's parts of that could be the truth, John, but the other part of the equation is it just forces the Russians to spread out their networks in terms of radars, et cetera, to try to detect these kind of operations. In similar fashion, we're seeing the Russians really seeming to grapple with the dealing with the drone attacks against Moscow. Moscow is probably one of the most heavily defended cities in terms of air defense. But obviously, the air defense networks are primarily, if not exclusively, focused on incoming high-altitude aircraft or incoming missiles as opposed to low-level drones. So it's another effort, I think, to force the Russians to spread those assets more widely and shows full well that there are opportunities in that regard based on the long lines of terrain for the coastline as well as for the front.
Brave people to make that operation, but that's the commandos eat this stuff for lunch. I understand that. Jeff McCausland, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy CEO. When we come back to the battlefield itself, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.